Hey, you're listening to the Prime Culture Podcast. This Prime Culture is for the dreamers, the schemers, and the believers. We're here to introduce a whole new generation to the abundant life. We're here for the prime of our lives.
Welcome back to the pod, fam. It's a great day in El Paso, Texas, and it's an even better day because I get to be in the room with my peoples, prime people, my people, favorite people.
¿Qué pasó,
mi gente? You good?
What up?
We're good. How you feeling?
I'm feeling dusty.
I like that jacket, bro.
Thank you.
That's fire.
It's always cold in this studio, so I just...
It's chilly. It's very, very chilly.
It's 70 degrees outside, but
yeah,
we are here with
that. And it's still 70 degrees in here.
It's
like
cold
it.
For me.
Is it for real?
Yeah.
I feel okay.
I'm good.
I feel all right. What's new with y'all? Y'all good?
Doing good.
We're you
good.
Feeling good?
Yeah. Feeling good.
Awesome. Hey, when's the album coming up?
I don't know. I don't even know because I'm scared.
What are you scared of?
I'm scared to say because right now we're working on it. But like, I don't want to say a date and then like something happened, you know?
No one knows the hour.
I just want to remind
you. Just reply like Jesus, bro.
Sometime soon.
Just reply like Jesus. Neither, know the angels nor the Son of Man know the time nor the hour.
Neither Pastor Jerry, neither I know the time. No, well, I just want to remind everybody, we're new at this. We're babies at this. So the plan right now is that four songs come out before the actual final record comes out. And we're shooting.
Before Easter.
We're shooting. The first one comes out before Easter.
Come
that,
on, now.
I can say that.
Can you say which one it is?
I can't say.
Why? It's not like we can go listen to it and like blow the surprise.
I know, but what if it changes?
Oh, okay, true.
Yeah, because I don't want people to be like, you said, you know?
Yeah.
So the first one comes out before Easter, and then we'll release the record week before CultureCon.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Well, that, again, that is tentative.
Yes.
Yeah. The reason why I'm not saying that is because we're still... There's still a lot of conversations happening, but we're going to release before Easter.
So have you always had commitment issues?
No, I don't. I just don't want to. I want my yes to be yes and my no to be no.
Mm.
Come on, Pastor.
Mm. Mm.
Also, I'm scared.
Bro, you know what's crazy to me? What's crazy to me is that you didn't fold under the pressure of Holy Place. It was like...
Did you not fold just because it's like it's not in my control anyway? Or
what? Holy Place, like,
bro, holy,
releasing
the
it
pressure,
ASAP?
Bro.
Yeah, the pressure.
I was going to release it bootleg. I was going to put it on my SoundCloud.
You would have received that low yellow.
Sticky.
Low yellow. No, a low yellow, like, envelope. And like,
it's cease and desist.
Cease and desist, Pastor Cruz. Drop it. No, I don't know. I don't know what you're asking. Are you asking why is it taking so long? Because that's what everyone's asking. Yes?
No, I like it.
Yeah. Well, it's not intentional. The record is going to be somehow around
you're
that.
You're so nervous right now.
I
that's
am.
Crazy.
I'm so sorry. I hate when he does that to me.
No, it's because
the
only reason why.
Get out of that seat until he changes.
No, I actually don't.
Even, what am I doing? I'm not even doing anything wrong.
No, I'm
naturally inquisitive.
I'm genuinely not nervous right now. I'm just trying to be mindful of what I say because I don't want to.
You don't
want to
disappoint people.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to say we're gonna do something and we don't do it.
But do you think that's like a really like bad look? Do you like
it
a really
is a bad look?
Like, do you think people would be like, man, but you said?
Yeah, 100%. I think so.
For real?
Yeah.
I think people are. Yeah.
I think
I'm
if
still
we say,
old school that if I'll believe whatever you say and then if you don't say it then I'll be like why'd you say it then
I love that because I'm the same way like I believe people like if you told me this like that's what I expect
if we don't believe people what's the whole point
I
then?
Know
oh,
I'm actually
man.
Getting better though now I don't believe people
no but I think look like for real I think there's a situation culturally and generationally where there's just so much gray. And so much just subjectivity that a yes doesn't mean a yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And so, I'm not trying to say this word in terms of like the hot button in culture, right? But like binary options, like a binary
yeah.
decision, yes or no,
black or white.
Day
yeah.
or night, right? Right or wrong.
It's always yes, but
that whole thing gets just kind of like muddied now. And it's very, very, it's really interesting, right? But like the reason I was pressing a little bit, it's interesting, right? Because like, to me, it's like, why do you have to, you don't have to explain. You can say, look, I don't know. You
yeah.
know what I mean? And I'm not, I'm, Man, it sounds like I'm picking on Felipe.
No, you're not.
I promise I'm not picking on Felipe.
Does my face look like I'm
no,
like...
No, no, no. I feel some type of way.
No,
I,
don't.
Like, for real, I feel like, okay, good.
Yeah.
Because I think the goal to this whole intro is this thought, man, is like how much are we doing subconsciously because we're aware of certain responses or certain interactions or certain consequences that come, and we're constantly mitigating, right? I'm constantly measuring and I'm constantly just like safeguarding and adapting and adjusting to either conversations or conditions or expectations. And it was because I was taught something or something happened to me, right? And like, can I call it what I think it should be called, right? Like coping mechanisms.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Like, I'm not saying this is you, right? But like if I'm observing, it's like, oh man, like Felipe, you're not gonna let us down if it doesn't come out when you say it's gonna come out, right? But maybe there's something there which is like, well, I don't wanna commit to something because I don't wanna let you down. Type thing, mm-hmm. right? Again, I'm not saying that's what it is, but I think a lot of us that as we're watching this, I think there really is this tendency or there is this urge, right? To want to hedge and be safe on whatever happens. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think a lot of times the thing you talked about, I think the last pod was like avoidance,
mm-hmm.
right? So I avoid commitment to one thing mm-hmm. because I can't control the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right.
I think you used, when we first got married, you used to live there. You used to live in the gray.
100%.
Everything was like, well, maybe. Well, I don't know. We'll
see.
Yes. And I'm like, no, I need a yes or no answer because I live in the black and white. And I'm like, yes is yes, no is no. And if you didn't hit the no or the yes, I need an explanation.
But you know what's crazy? I come from the opposite. So I was just like Cruz. And then I think I hurt so many people, to be honest.
Mm.
Just like I was the guy that'd be like leaving my house. I'm at the lights and I'm not at the lights. So I feel
so
like
that was him.
I've been through so much of that. So I learned the discipline and now it's just a part of who I am. Like I will not say yes unless I know it's a yes. If not, I'll be like, I don't know.
I think that's a really strong, yeah. I think that's too. A really strong discipline. And I think that's a really great ethic, right? So if we're talking about tendencies that I'm hedging with certain behaviors, mm-hmm. I'll talk about myself. Thank you for letting me press you a little bit. I don't think you were nervous or whatever. It was Diana.
Diana was nervous for me.
I was. I just hate to be in that seat.
Diana's like, blink if you're in danger.
I will pull the cord.
So like for me, right? For me, I would wade into the waters of gray mm-hmm. and not absolute, right? Like, because I was such a pleaser and mm-hmm. I didn't want to let people down. I needed people to like me. I needed to be accepted. I needed to always be in good graces. So I would try to find my way where I was technically honest, mm-hmm. but also technically off the hook if it didn't work.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? So like for me, it was easy to make, you know, like, oh man, we'll see, you know, like, but say it in a way where they're like, oh, okay, no, Cruz said yes.
They're super like, hopeful.
Right. And it was like, no, I didn't. I yeah. said what I thought you wanted me to say so that I would stay in your good graces in that moment.
Yeah.
Then inevitably what happened was, especially when we got married, it was like, no, Cruz isn't like waiting in the gray. Cruz is a liar.
Yeah.
Mm. Type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like negotiating. I feel like that was like my biggest obstacle growing up as a young adult is that I wanted both, really, because mm-hmm. they both have benefits, both had value. So for example, like a quick example was like my church life when mm-hmm. I was like, I would say yes to the right things that would give me the right opportunities around the wrong people, the things that were really fun. Mm-hmm. And then I would also say yes to the other things on the other side. So all that to say is I think I've learned through painful learning and apologizing mm-hmm. and humbling by the Lord to say like, you know, just let your yes be yes, let your no be no. And that's something I learned from Pastor Charles, the big C.
You learned that the hard way too.
Oh yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. Learned hard knocks and just a lot of correction, you know. For me, it was PK, right? Who just like hammered me all the time. Like, no, bro, Cruz, a half truth is a complete lie.
Yeah.
Type thing. Right. And the reason this matters, right, is because we're still in the motif and still in the vein and the flow of Culture Night in February, right? Where one of my favorite points in that Culture Night was out of Matthew 9, where the scripture says that he healed their diseases and their illnesses,
mm-hmm.
right? So like for me, the disease was, I was not affirmed as much, I think, as I should have been, or celebrated, or, and this is not me throwing rocks at my family or my parents, right? They did the best they knew, the best they could. But I did grow up with a deficiency of affirmation and celebration. So I wanted badly to be affirmed and to be accepted and to be celebrated. So the disease, right? If you remember the Culture Night message, which, yeah, by the way, if you haven't, at the end of this episode, you can just click on one of the boxes and we'll link you to the February Kiss episode is what it was called, of Culture Night. Anyway, so like when I think about it, for me, the disease was, so disease, illness, disease is cause, illness is effect. And the scripture says that Jesus wants to heal both, yeah, the cause of it and the effect of it, right? So the actual happening, the thing that either traumatized you or marked you, yeah, or became this fork in the road where you started leaning a specific way. And, but he also wants to align you, right? Mm-hmm. He wants to heal the illness. He wants to also restore you back to healthy patterns and, mm-hmm, healthy behaviors. So watch. So it was needing affirmation, celebration, acceptance. So I would say things that would allow me to be affirmed or celebrated or accepted. Yeah, yeah. And so long after the disease, the cause, the effect, the, you know, you do a little bit of therapy, you get some prayer, you grow up, you get some maturity, say, man, I forgive my parents, but I still have this tendency. I still have this illness,
right?
I didn't heal in the right direction, mm-hmm, and no longer can I pin the responsibility of me being dishonest on mom did, dad did, or mom didn't, or dad didn't, or they didn't. Mm-hmm. It's on, no, this is now a bend you have. This is now a bias you have. And you think about it, right? It's the remaining impact. And until that gets aligned, man, you're going to walk in a confused, helpless state. It's going to be a hard, yeah, thing, right? So I look at the illnesses in my, no longer the diseases, right? Because he cured my diseases, yeah, right? The trauma, the origin of where my behavior, if I'm explaining my behavior, the, yeah, origin moments, right? Oh, that's the moment he became a villain, right, or that's the moment she became bitter. That's the moment, yeah, you know, like whatever, but there's still the pattern. Right. And so like, even with this, right, the pattern of just kind of like throwing around the half truths, yeah, is a misaligned, unresolved, unrestored, maybe unredeemed aspect of me that the Lord is saying, hey, Cruz, I healed the issue, but I need you to go and sin no more.
Yeah.
I think that's a big deal, because a lot of times young adults will be like, look, I gave my life to Christ. I'm living for Christ. I'm still doing this, but I still struggle with this. And, or I'm still attracting these kind of relationships. And they don't realize that, like, look, you actually have to go back into the hospital. Let's get reworked. Mm. Let's get work done, yeah, in order for you to realign, to get the different results. Wow. Because these different results aren't going to come magically. You actually have to move things around. You actually may have to re-break it to reset what you want in your life.
When, yeah, you use the analogy in the message for Culture Night of like the, what is it called? The cast?
Yeah.
Is that how you say in English? That was like, the Lord will heal you, and then you, and he must also align you.
Yeah.
That to me is like, I wish I heard that when I was like 20.
No, absolutely. Because I used to think, when I was younger, I used to think that I would see what was alignment as restriction, mm-hmm, right? As limitation. Like, why is God limiting my life? Why? And it's like, no, man, I'm just making sure that the bone stays where it's supposed to be, that and this thing heals properly.
Yeah, nobody's arguing with the doctor. Like, why do I got to have this cast on for 2 months? It's like, okay, are you sure we're going to take it off now? You're almost at the point where like, are you sure 2 months is enough? Like, do we need three?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We'll believe the doctor, we won't believe God.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
That's a bar, bro. That's a bar.
It's crazy.
But I think if we're looking at it in the context of even the cast, right? It's boundaries are a blessing, right? Limitations is love. The absence of limitation and unrestrained access and excess is actually cruelty.
Yeah.
Right. I think about that. You know, with the. I think I've quoted it on the pod before, but there was a study done like in the 80s or like the 70s or something like that, where it was like the generation of like free love and just a bunch of just everything's free. You're a hippie type thing. And there was this whole I forgot what city it was, but there was this petitioning to like, hey, take the fences off of playgrounds, stop restricting our kids. Mm. Right. So there was a sociological study that was done, and they observed the behavior of elementary school children, and what they did, what they, what they did was they observed him playing while the fences were up, right? And so the kids would go, they would go up to the fence, they would come back, they would play freely within the confines of the boundaries. But then when they removed the fences, the children stayed with the teachers. They wouldn't even go out, because what they discovered was that those fences and those borders gave those children this innate sense of safety and security. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I wonder if somewhere along the lines, we forget that he's a good father and whatever lines he draws and whatever fences he puts us in, whatever borders he places us in, is not to restrict us. Right. But it's to bless us.
Yeah.
But what happens is I think we get so much FOMO about what's on the other side of the fence that we don't take time to explore God's wise and loving design within the boundary and the border of what he's placed us in. You know,
bro, we're always looking at the other side of the fence. Let's see what's over there. Yeah. Let's see what we can see. Let's see what's out there.
That makes me, I don't know if I'm going to derail the conversation, but this is making me think about the patterns and the tendencies you were talking about. And in the context of this fence idea, that when God aligns you, he's protecting you, he's healed you, but now he's aligning you, right? Mm-hmm. So would you guys say that when we don't allow the Lord to align us and give us the right patterns, we will make our own patterns?
Oh, for sure.
And it'll look like that. Like, the Lord heal me from knowing that I need his approval, his affirmation. I need to get my identity from him. But since I haven't allowed him to align me and create patterns for that, I will do what I did, what you just describing, which is like, I tend to tell people what they want to hear so they can tell me how.
What's that verse that talks about like, you know, the Lord, but it's like, because you know him and you're still not following his ways, you're of all men, the most miserable.
Oh yeah. Okay. That's 1 Corinthians 15. And he's talking about the resurrection, right? And so if there's no resurrection of the dead, no matter what upstanding we take on, it's, we're of all men, most miserable, which I think that's a great thought. But here's a thought. I think if I can just place it on the table for us to consider, right? So Proverbs says it this way, that a man without self-control, a man who is unrestrained, is like a city with no walls, right? So that plays perfectly into this metaphor and this thought, right? So if I'm receiving control, that means I've submitted myself to a higher authority, right? There's a higher standard than my self-indulgence. There's a higher standard than my entitlement. There's a higher standard than my own opinion of what I think I should have, right? So a person who has no sense or no presence of control or authority in their life is a city with no walls, right? And so you think about this. You think about a city with no walls. Anything can go out and anything can come in, right? And so now there's no security, there's no protection. Mm-hmm. And if there's no security, no protection, there's no prosperity, right? And so you look at the lives of some people, right? And if we're talking just in terms of boundaries, in terms of limitation, responsible decision-making, ethics, right? It's like, well, no wonder life is a mess, because anything can go in, anything can come out, and there's zero sense of order, right? Which let's remember that God is a God of order, right? So I think walls and boundaries and governing lines, man, are so important. Let's talk about this. We quote this all the time at church, and I think it's necessary. Proverbs 4:23, right? Guard your heart above all other things. Why? Because it creates the borders and the boundaries of your life, right? Yeah. Your life will reflect the borders within your heart.
Yeah.
That's a big deal, right? But we don't, I think when we're younger, we don't like borders. We don't like boundaries. We want to, you know, we just want to roam free, which that's the difference between being a pet and being a pest. that's funny to me.
I mean, it's also the difference between being a 2-year-old and a 22-year-old. Oh, like, you know, like, are you going to throw a tantrum because the Lord is putting these restrictions on you? When I was talking about that other verse, what I was saying is, like, you can be also living in, like, a Christianity, right? And you're like, okay, I'm going to do things God's way. But you're not really doing things God's way, because now you think you're aligned, but you're not. You're aligning yourself. You're not letting the Lord align you.
Right.
So you know his truth. You know what you're supposed to do, but you're still choosing to do whatever you want. So now I was going back to that verse. You know the truth, but you're miserable because you know which way you're supposed to go, but you're still resisting. Yeah. You know, instead of being like a sinner that doesn't know anything, they're out there sinning without a care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's, to me, I'm like, man, that must be a really hard life to live.
Well, it was making me think also right now how, and I don't mean to deviate, because I think we should tell people, sorry, my mic is kind of messing up. I think we should talk about what are some like some aligning that actually God does that we mistake for restrictions. So what if there's some young adults listening to this and they feel like they're being restricted, or that I don't know, there's boundaries, they feel caught, they feel stuck.
Yeah.
And maybe we can help somebody be like, hey, that's not a restriction, that's alignment. That is boundaries. But anyway, I was just gonna say that being healed and not aligned is what we usually call, like, it's a get out of hell free card. Which is like, you get healed and you live from altar call to altar call.
Mm-hmm. With a limp. You live with the limp.
Because you ain't aligned and you keep going to make the same mistake. And it's not that you weren't really healed in the beginning. It's like you were. You just never got the cast. Your bone was left to be broken again. And you broke it back up again.
And it, like you said, it will heal. It'll just heal wrong.
Yeah, oof.
Yeah, you don't get to see the fullness of God's prosperity and God's blessing in your life. And that's what he wants. He wants to bring the fullness of it. I love the thought of identifying some limitations. Maybe some L's you should say yes to.
Yeah,
right?
Like, I love your brain. My
like,
God.
Like say no to the
Let's
L's.
Let's talk about the like, L's you should be taking.
100%. And I think limitation is one of them.
Let's
Limits,
go.
Man.
Yeah.
And like think about the creation narrative, right? He steps in, and in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without void and without form. The Lord said, let there be light. Now, we're not talking illumination, right? The rabbinical history and rabbinical tradition would say it this way. He said, let there be order, because the whole narrative in the 6 days of creation is all about establishing order and structure, and bringing order and structure. Think about this, right? If we're talking about an L that I should say yes to, the limitations that God puts, not the limitations that I put on myself, because let's be honest, there are limitations that we put on ourselves that come after having taken some big fat losses.
Right.
And it's like, I'll never love again.
Right. I'll never have friends
again. I'll never talk to them again. And it's like, bro, that limitation is actually your ailment, right? That's what it is. It's your debility. It's your, like, you got hurt. There's a disability because you weren't healed right. And now you have a disability where you can't trust anymore.
Yeah.
You can't be intimate anymore. You can't be authentically yourself anymore. That's the last time I'll ever be vulnerable. Okay, good luck. Right. Yeah. And so there are limitations we put on ourselves as like, that literally become idols, right? They bring no life to you, but then there's limitations that the Lord puts on us, right? I'm remembering a scripture, man, I can't remember exactly where it is, but it says the Lord, he said, I chastise those that I love, right? When you talk chastisement, it's misquoted all the time. They talk about, man, like, I'm going to beat up and just hurt the ones I love. No, the word chastise simply means to correct. I'm going to correct you. I'm going to bring you back.
Because I love you.
So when I swerve off the road, I get chastised by the rumble strips.
And I'm grateful for those strips.
Come back, bro. Right. So anyway, I think about the limitations that the Lord puts on the Genesis narrative, right? He separates the water from the water. He draws shorelines and he tells the ocean, you'll only go this far.
Right.
It's beautiful. And what's he doing? Think about this, the presence of limitations, right? He's creating a perfect environment through limitations and order to put the first humans in.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Would it be possible to say, within reason, that the perfect environment for a human to live in, aka if I want to live in Eden every day of my life, it begins with honoring the order and the limitations that the Lord puts on my life.
Yeah, the order. I love it.
Right?
I love it.
And so it's like, no, it's not that I don't want you to enjoy sex. It's that I want you to stop practicing being an unfaithful husband
before you become a husband. That's not the way he made it.
Hello? Yeah. And so we look at the limitation of like sexual activity. It's like, oh my God, God's trying to keep it away from me. No, what I'm trying to do is help you not wreck your car before you even get your driver's license.
Yeah.
Hello?
And keep you safe and healthy and not full of drama and anxiety and fear
and pain and divorce, even though you're not married.
Right. And where you and you never get to live in God's wise
fullness.
God's fullness and his wise loving design. One thing I'll share a personal limitation that the Lord has put on my life. So one of the questions that I get asked all the time is like, hey Cruz, is X, Y, and Z a sin? Is this a sin?
Right.
Is this a sin? Now, within the construct of the gospel, right? Sin is destroyed. So like sin is no longer an issue when you're born again and walk in the new creation, the new nature reality. Now, Paul says it this way in Romans 6. Shall we continue in sin that there can be much more grace? He's like, no, that's not how this works. How can you continue in something that you're dead to?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, so I'll tell people, listen, it's not about, is this right or wrong? Right. Paul says it this way. Look, all things are lawful. All things are accessible. And nothing, what he's saying is nothing's going to disqualify me and undo the work of Jesus. Right. Like, it's not going to happen. He says, but not everything edifies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not everything
is good for
you. Is good for you. That word edifies simply means this. When I'm living a life that edifies, number one, I see Jesus more clearly through the behavior that I engage in. Number two, people and the world around me see Jesus more clearly in the through the behavior that I engage in.
Yes.
So the question isn't, is it right or wrong? That's an immature, shallow question for any Christian to be asking.
Yeah.
The real question is, does it edify? Does it help me know Jesus more clearly? And does it help the world around me see Jesus more clearly?
Yeah.
That's a question, right? And so in that, you know, there were things that, you know, that when I was younger and when I was a younger follower of Jesus, I enjoyed, and it wasn't necessarily quote unquote a sin, but there came a time where the Lord said, listen, I want to separate you and I want to consecrate you. Right. And I think about the Nazarites, right? Samson was a Nazarite. Samuel was a Nazarite. Jesus was a Nazarite. And they lived lives of consecration and extreme discipline.
Yeah.
Never cut their hair. Never touched alcohol, that kind of stuff, right? And in my own life, I heard a pastor that I really admire. His name's John Tyson. He said it this way, and I'm just like, man, that's how God has said it to me. Because there are times where it's like, Lord, but like, why do they get to, right? And it's like, no, here's a limitation, Cruz. Others may, but you may not. So that I may through you.
Mm-hmm.
Others may, you may not, so that I may through you.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think if we're talking about submitting to authority and being in covenant with somebody, right? Like, the relationship between me and the Lord is independent of y'all's relationship with the Lord. And whatever he's allowed you to do, it's none of my business.
Yeah.
It's between what the Lord has told me, I may or may not. And it's not about sinfulness. It's about obedience. Yeah. It's about, is he or is he not the Lord of my life?
Yeah.
Right? So
I think if you can get that revelation, I think you shared that with me maybe like 5 years ago or something, to where that shallow question of like, is this sin or is this not sin, right? Everybody's always trying to skirt those boundaries. It really like just impacted me so much when I realized, man, are people seeing Jesus more clearly when I do this or when I don't do that?
Sure.
When I understood that revelation, I hope you can get it. Like, as young adults, like, that's how you're going to change your life. That's how you make decisions. Not, oh God, are you going to be mad at me? No. Are people going to see Jesus more clearly through my actions? And do I reflect Jesus when I do this or when I do that? Yeah. That changed my life. Yeah. And I was going to say something else.
It's all good. As you're saying that, like, I think about when I was younger and I was trying to honor the Lord through the technicalities. Mm. Well, technically,
yes.
I didn't do anything wrong. Right? Technically, no.
Yeah,
no,
for, his brain
I have so
works
many
like
conversations
that.
Like that right now.
No, right? And
well,
so,
Pastor, technically,
right?
Right? You know, and yeah, I don't want to be too. I don't want to be too.
No,
too graphic.
Be nice today.
Yeah, I'll be nice. I don't want to be too graphic, right? But I've met a lot of people who are technically right, but horribly wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and it's again, it's not about, can I define the technical, what can I get away with?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, this is a good thought. Tell me what you guys think of it. Right. So when I was younger, it really was, okay, what can I get away with?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now it's like, what can I give away to the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
What does God want from me,
that's
man?
What I was like, say like you have to, like, the questions you ask will reveal the relationship you have with the Lord.
Yeah.
Because that's what's going to determine how you do things.
That's a good word, Diana.
That makes like everything, if we were to pack it up in one word, like the L you should be taking in your life with the Lord is consecration, which is being set apart, which means you don't get to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Which
and
is,
that looks different for everybody.
For everyone.
You have a different type of consecrated life than I do, you know? So I think that's why it's really important that we run our race. We have our lane. We're not looking right and left. We're just looking straight forward to Jesus.
Yeah. The, well, I don't mean, does anybody, do you guys want to share anything about consecration? Because I was going to say another L.
Go ahead. Well, let me just give this thought on consecration. It's, oh my gosh, 2 Corinthians 4. And no, oh man, I think it's Timothy. I think it's 2 Timothy. Don't quote me on it. But it sounds like Paul in Corinthians. It says, in a great house, there are many vessels. Mm. Vessels of wood, yeah. Metal, silver, gold. And then it says, and vessels of honor and dishonor. Mm-hmm. Which mm-hmm. is very interesting. So the house that he's talking about is the body of Christ. And there's just different, you know, all shapes and forms and sizes. And even in the body of Christ, there are people who live honorably yeah. and dishonorably, right? And then he says, so then flee youthful lust so that you can be fit for the master's use and pursue the Lord with others whose hearts are for him as well, right? And it's very interesting that what he correlates to becoming a vessel that's dishonorable is youthful lust, right? So if you think about consecration, okay, we're staying in the thought of being set apart. So youthful lust, when I was a younger preacher, I thought it was just all about sexual immorality, right?
That's what all guys think.
Immediately, it's like, and it, you know, when I was a younger preacher, like before we were married, right? It was like, that's one of the things that's like, I'm fighting, you know, like. Mm-hmm.
I think that's so, all young adults, not yeah. just no, guys. Yeah.
But the more I've studied the text in that aspect is this, that the thought of youthful lust is immature desire, mm-hmm. right? If you can be honest about, and if I can be honest about the desires that I have, number one, I'm immature compared to, so even at 45, wait, I'm 46, holy smokes. Even at the age that I am today, edit that out, Andrew. I'm just kidding.
It'll just be a random voice that will say 35. Yeah. It's my voice.
It's just beep, right? It just goes like the RGB bars. No, but E-Watch, in comparison, when I hold myself in comparison to the life I've lived and life experience that I have, and I hold it in comparison and contrast to the eternal wisdom of God, my view is always immature, mm-hmm. no matter what. So I have to be honest about, man, my desires are suspect, right? And so if I only pursue my desires independent of God, I'm not saying don't have desires.
Right.
I'm saying don't have desires by yourself,
right.
where you're the first priority and the final authority in your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good word, right? It's a scary place
yes.
where the construct of my life is I'm the first priority and I'm the final authority.
Yeah.
The only voice. Yeah.
That is, man, that's a scary place to live, right? And so youthful lust is I have this immature desire, and it's immature if I don't bring in eternal perspective or if I don't bring in community to help me say, hey, help me weigh this. I really want to do this, right? And so again, immature desire is not necessarily against sexual immorality, although that could be included, but I can become a dishonorable vessel. All simply means my life is not pleasing the Lord and not right. living to the fullest of his potential mm-hmm. and his purpose for me when I'm pursuing immature desires. I mean, I've had men of God in my life tell me, hey, Cruz, you're called to that, but not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I mean, recently, I see that on your life, but not yet. So what do I do? Do I go pursue it and pursue an immature desire without the blessing of God? Mm-hmm. What does that make me? That makes me, I'm still in the body of Christ, but now I'm a dishonorable vessel.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
And that's, you know, walking in pride, right. walking in your own selfishness.
Right.
Well, that's what keeps us away from being consecrated. It's the desires that we have.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When you are consecrated, the desires of the Lord is what you live by, not mm-hmm. your own desires. So the moment you're living by your own desires is the moment you're going to step away from consecration.
Absolutely.
Right. You're going to live up to you. You are the boss.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. What was the one you were going to bring up?
I was going to say the other L that I think young adults have a hard time taking is discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is
any human.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Any human.
Bro, I've said
Can we just say that some adults are just young adults who never learned?
Yeah.
And bro, can I tell you how many
some adults are old adults?
How many 60-year-old, 14-year-olds I meet
all
the time?
There's some 60, 25-year-olds out there still. Yeah.
Absolutely, bro. 100%. Yeah. I say this jokingly every once in a while when we talk about discipline and when we preach about discipline. I say, man, discipline is one of the hardest things for a human being. If discipline was easy, discipline is simple. It's not complicated, but it's hard.
Yeah.
Right. And I say, if discipline was easy, we would all have six packs and be debt free. We would all have abs and be debt free.
And that is called eating.
it's called you're eating the wrong thing. Anyway.
Sorry. I think
I'm in a seating. Oh, man.
Somebody thank just you got people. It at the gym right now, barely right now. They're like, oh.
No, man, because like, here's the thing. When it comes to discipline, discipline does it doesn't come for most of us, or lack of discipline doesn't come for most of us because of a lack of knowledge.
We all know what to do.
Like most of us know what to do to have abs, and most of us know what to do to not have debt in our lives.
Right.
But we just,
Yeah, I think we have a hard time with discipline because we have a hard time that we have a hard time aligning the fact that Jesus would ask us to do something that's painful. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? And I'm using this very, very carefully. I'm not talking about when God does, people say that God does bad things to you. I'm talking about discipline will always require a certain amount of suffering. We called it light work.
Good suffering. Yeah, it's good suffering.
And yeah. I do think it is, in my conversations, especially with guys that I talk to that are trying to hit a certain fitness goal, hit a certain financial goal. Actually, those are the two main ones, I think.
Yeah.
Where we just are not, we're not the best at discipline. I think it's just renewing our mind about what discipline actually requires. And it will require a degree of suffering, mm-hmm. that is, it will produce something good in me. Mm-hmm. And I think those are the worlds that when they collide, we would rather just have comfort or have.
Of course.
Exactly. And I think what we do at times is we change the conversation and we ask God to heal us when he's trying to align us.
Yeah.
So God, why can't we just all get that? Why can't we just all be 5 a.m. wake up first and just like go to the gym, you know?
And get it done.
And we assume that the person that's doing it, it comes easy. It's God given.
Or you're just extra.
Bro, how often, right? Oh, must be nice.
Yeah.
No, it's not nice.
Must be nice.
Hard.
Nothing like.
Must yep. be nice.
But you know what's crazy? You know what it sounds like to me in 2026 as a young adult to not be willing to take the L of discipline in a way, like the limitation of discipline. It sounds like, and I see it all the time, is like we'll see a video or a meme of somebody expressing like some sort of dysfunction and or like comfort or whatever, and we have the me generation, the me me,
yep.
right? So we'll learn to cope with our tendencies,
our deficiencies.
What is the opposite of discipline in English? Is it laziness? I mean, I don't want to say that, but
to me, it would be
lack of motivation.
Isn't it lack of order? Because like discipline.
Yeah, disorder or sloppiness.
Yeah,
is what I would say. Yeah.
So I mean,
it's decreased motivation. I would think.
I don't know. I don't.
Discipline to me is patterns.
Yeah, discipline is. I'm not motivated to discipline.
No, I'm never motivated to go to the gym at 8 a.m.
Like when
I just chose to do it.
I'm not motivated to eat chicken.
You all see me in the morning. You see my face for the first 10 minutes. I'm motivated.
I'm just here so I won't get fined. I mean, like for real.
But that all that to say is that I do think that if we are not taking this limitation, if we're not welcoming discipline, the alignment of discipline into our lives, we will become people who are okay with our dysfunction or our limit, whatever you call it.
Absolutely.
Right. And we'll say me. And to be honest with you, that's probably one of my biggest pet peeves as just a pastor when like somebody will send me like something so dumb, so immature, whatever. And it's funny in the moment. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's funny. And then it'll say me next to it. And it's like, to me, I just don't understand it. Maybe it's because I'm an old soul.
Okay, I won't send you any more of them.
No, but to me it's okay when it's something funny, but I'm saying I do think there's a very common thing when it's like, I want to get a coffee. I want to go on vacation. It's like we all want the enjoyment of the fruit of discipline, but we are not actually willing to do to pay the price. So to me, all that to say is I think discipline is something you choose and not something you will ever feel.
Yep.
If you want to welcome this alignment into your life, you have to have the understanding that it will not feel good ever.
And it will never be easy.
It will never be easy. And that's just the alignment. Mm-hmm. It's just having a cast for a year doesn't feel good.
At all.
It doesn't smell good. It doesn't.
Yeah, there's nothing glamorous.
Nothing glamorous about it, but you get a whole healthy bone afterwards. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the promise of the Lord with this, with being aligned with him is. He's not promising you comfort all the time, but he's promising you like something eternal, something that will bring meaningfulness to your life, purpose, mm-hmm. rather than just comfort.
Yeah,
I mean, we have to say goodbye to comfort if we want discipline for real.
I agree.
But to me, that's something that we should welcome. That's an alignment. Like the Lord heals us. For example, let's say you were in huge debt and like a family member, like he they just paid off your student loans because they just got a big check or something. They won the lottery. Cool. The Lord healed you, you could say there, but there's still an alignment that's required. 100%. You will get, I know people who have overcome debt by people's generosity and they went back into it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important. And again, the person will say, well, this is a battle or this is like a thing that, no, it's an alignment issue. It's a discipline issue. So again, it's not fun to talk about discipline, but
necessary.
A person that's 33 years old, I wish I had learned discipline way earlier. I think I'd be in better shape now. I think I feel better. I think I would have taken better care of my entire body, of my mind, of my soul. I would have watched what I watch. I would have
been careful
with what I watch, with what I listen to. My goodness. Like, I just let people take away like a few years of my life on pure comparison. If I had started writing songs, again, writing songs is discipline. It's nothing fancy. If I had started writing songs when I was like 16, when I felt it, and I'd stopped looking to like actually get a Grammy when I wrote the first song and just get a song done. Because every time I wouldn't get a Grammy, I would stop writing.
Yeah.
I would just not write. I'd be like, all right, next song. And it took me like 5 years to finally get going with it. And y'all, that wasn't glamorous. That was just discipline. And I don't want you to think that I'm like regretting my life choices.
I know.
But what I'm saying is,
I think you look back and I'm like, Lord, absolutely.
I do think young adults live in unrealistic realities and expectations. Because a lot of them want the Grammy.
I'm trying to win the lottery. 16. Right? I'm trying to win the lottery.
I tried and I really got disappointed when I didn't win.
Or if you win, and this is a known statistic. This is a known statistic. So many people, I don't know what the actual number is, but a lot of people who win the lottery are broke again within 3 to 5 years.
Yeah. Not because they didn't have me. Go for it. I'm just kidding.
I'd rather try. I'd rather build a life that doesn't need to win the lottery because I've discipline.
Come on. I knew you were gonna say that. You know, it's what I'd rather do.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, a life worth living is hard work.
100%.
But I think that's a good question. Are we trying to live like lottery lives or are we trying to live sustainable, God-fearing lives? A God-fearing life doesn't need a lottery ticket. Mm-hmm. It needs you to show up every single day. And do the work. It's like, oh, I don't know. I heard
a leader say this like a couple of months ago. He said, man, the definition of a scammer is a person who wants the most reward for the least amount of work. Mm. Right. And I wonder how many of us are legit trying to scam our way through life. Right. Mm. I want the most for doing the least, bro.
And then we think God didn't heal us. No, he healed you. He's trying to align you.
My goodness.
So to me, discipline is massive in all areas of life. And again, I just talked about it from the perspective of a songwriter, because I think most of the time we think it's the gym. And yeah, sure. Well, maybe money, but it's self-control. Like, anger things, mm-hmm. the ability to not be a person. Like I was, when I was a young adult, I could not submit under authority for the life of me. My God, like I would always have something to say. I thought I was better than everybody else, you know? So again, discipline, self-control. I mean, discipline is literally, self-control is a byproduct of discipline.
100%, man.
So 100%. Take that L, yo. Take that limitation, welcome it into your life. I need discipline. You don't need somebody to pay off you need discipline. You don't need to meet the right girl. You just need discipline. So you talk to the right ones.
Yeah. Or so that you be the one that attracts the right ones. Yeah. I think is a big deal, man.
You need discipline with what you're posting on IG, et cetera.
I think your expectations around discipline need to be correct as well. You know, the gift of discipline is discipline.
That's it. You get more right? discipline. Like,
no, seriously. That's the gift. The gift of discipline is order and structure, and you create an environment for the Lord to do something in there, right? You hear these cliches or these statements all the time, right? Like success is where preparation and opportunity meet, right? Well, what's preparation?
Discipline.
Right? And opportunity is like, man, my discipline brought me to the right place, right time, and boom, here we go, right? And it's just like, man, like the older I get, the more I see that, right? Like the people who become the one-hit wonders or who are like, success overnight was like, everyone I was talking to recently and they were talking about someone else and they said, man, it's crazy that it took me 22 years to become a success overnight.
Yeah, it's the truth.
It's crazy, man. But it's discipline, right? And it's making a commitment. Anything else is, I want to quote what Jesus says, you know, back to just, let's call it back and to where we started in the beginning. He said, let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Don't swear to God because you're not God. Mm-hmm. Don't swear by the hair on your head because you didn't create that. You can't control that. You can't control whether you grow it or keep it, right? He said, just let yes, your yes be yes, your no be no. And then he said, because anything beyond that is demonic. Mm-hmm. That's a strong statement when it comes to like, man, let's be honest about the limitations, the boundaries, the values. Yes is yes, no is no. If I said it, I'm going to keep it, yeah. Right? If God is creating a boundary, I'm going to live in that. Watch and think about it. Demonic doesn't mean I'm going to get possessed and live a horror movie. Demonic means I'm going to step outside of the realm of God's covering.
And his alignment.
And outside of the presence of God, because that's where that's a demonic realm.
That's like the kids with no fence in the playground.
Exactly, bro. Yeah. Right? And it's like, no, man, like when you allow yourself to live with this beautiful understanding of God's wise and loving design for life, you live under the beautiful protection of his hand, of who he is, of his goodness, his mercy. But anytime we walk outside of yes being yes and no being no, I now remove myself from that covering. I step outside of covenant, which I think that's been one of the major, major themes in mm-hmm. the last several weeks. I step outside of my agreement with him. And it's like, bro, like you want me to, I can't bless you over there. I would love to, but I'm going to contradict my own word. So what I need you to do is come back over here. And that's where you get the correction of the Lord. You get the chastisement of the Lord. Yeah. You get the Lord pulling you back in. You get the word kind of hurting your feelings. It's like, no, we got to get you right side up. Yeah. We got to get you aligned again, man. That think that's a great conversation. Yeah.
We said
the right else.
We said the right else are order, consecration,
discipline. That's a beautiful thing. You can live a really incredible life. If you learn to live that.
What was the bar that you just said right before we started the pod?
That's a great question.
I can't remember. I was trying to think about it the entire pod, but I couldn't.
What was the bar?
Well, we're talking about the difference between...
Yeah, you said young adults don't like solitude.
Isolation, consecration.
Oh, they don't know the difference between solitude, isolation, and consecration.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Jesus.
Wow. We'll talk about that later.
Another time. That was a bar, bro.
I love it. Listen, we're so proud of y'all, man, for real. We see you. We see you trying and doing your best to live right side up. My encouragement to you as you're walking this out is don't quit, man. Don't quit.
Yeah.
I look back at my own life, and I'm sure you guys can agree, but I look back at my own life and I see where I quit too soon. And I didn't give myself the opportunity to fully explore God's beautiful, wise and loving design for life. And I just quit and I walked away with this incomplete perspective. And I said, God can't do it. Mm. God's not it. And what I did was I quit before it was too soon. The scripture says, Galatians 6:9, don't be weary in doing well, for in due season, you'll reap a harvest if you don't quit, if you don't give up, man. And so just don't give up doing the right thing, man. There's a blessing to it already. And the beautiful blessing to that is alignment with the Lord.
Amen.
Nothing more, nothing less, man. So hopefully this blesses your life. It blessed me today to be talking with these beautiful people.
Thank you for listening.
And thank you
watching.
For sharing us in your ear, on your screen, wherever you're at. Hey, go check out our Culture Night message. Andrew, we're going to put it up. Which side? Are we going up? Actually, we should put it down. Somewhere on the screen, right? Go catch it, man. We love you guys. Thank you for being a part of what we're doing. Get in a circle if you're not in a circle, man.
What are you doing?
Life is way better together in a circle. Amen. The right circle can change your life. Until next time, we love y'all. Peace.